It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 103 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. Today we have a special guest in with us in the studio, Andrew LaTurrell, the recent Fargo regional champion.
Yeah, coming off of making top four at the Minnesota regional, Andrew was able to come around with that same Rear Admiral Chirinow Inquisitor list and take the entire Fargo regional. So we're going to chat with Andrew today about his preparation for regionals, the event itself, and talk a little bit about what the Imperial faction is bringing to compete with all these really top-performing Rebel lists.
And hopefully we can talk a little bit about how great the Kylo Ren crew card is.
Yeah, so here is our interview with Andrew LaTurrell. All right, so we are talking with the newly crowned 2018 Fargo X-Wing Regional Champion, Andrew LaTurrell. Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Hey, no problem. Glad to be on.
Yeah, it's been a while since you won a regional, so it's good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, it's been a year, a little over. So
we've been anticipating this ever since we saw you make top four at the Minnesota Regional there. We were just waiting for that next regional you could take here this year. So we've got a lot to talk about here, lots of interesting stuff happening at the Fargo Regional. But before we get too far into that, we just want to talk to you a little bit about you as a player. So let us know, first of all, where are you from?
I'm from Bemidji, Minnesota, which is almost 4 hours north of Roseville and 2 hours south of Canada. So
there you go. You've got a little bit of a hike. I didn't realize you were closer to Canada than you were to the Twin Cities.
Oh, easily, yeah. It's the same amount of driving time to Winnipeg as it is to the cities for me.
How many X-Wing players are there active in Bemidji?
There's two, and only one that plays competitive.
Is it you?
One other one that plays competitive, my buddy Patrick Murray, who came with me to Fargo. And there's more than two in the area, but only two that really play at the game shop here. And then my brother, who's the one who got me into the game, hasn't been playing for 2 or 3 years now, and I finally convinced him to pick it back up. So that'd be good.
So when did you start playing the game, and what first drew you to X-Wing?
So I started playing the game Wave 4 when Whisper just came out. I started playing with my brother. He's the one who got me into the game.
And I'm guessing it started pretty casually, right?
Yeah. He would play Han and two rookie X-Wing pilots against my three interceptors that didn't have auto thrusters, so I'm just crush me. And
every time.
Yeah. And then he'd bring out Dash and two X-Wings, and again, with Dash when he had before the barrel roll nerf, he could go anywhere. And
That thing was a monster, because you got to do just a regular barrel roll, so you get an insane amount of movement.
He was so hard to track down. So yeah, he got me into the game. We played a lot of casual, like our store here, Accidentally Cool Games, really small store, for X-Wing anyways. We'd have we had our kit tournaments and things like that with like six players. That was as competitive as it got, because I didn't play my first regionals until FFG in 2000, what are we in now? 18, 17, 16, 2016.
And how'd you do at your first regional?
3-3. And that, like I said last time I was on, that was a really good lesson to fly what you like to fly, because I flew a four-ship Rebel list to try to counter the meta, and I didn't face any of the meta lists I countered for. So
you just ended up flying something you weren't comfortable with.
Yeah, so it was a good lesson to just fly what you like, because you don't control your matchups.
So was that really the point when you started to get into the competitive side of X-Wing?
Yep, that was the first one. Because then after that, I went to Fargo and made top 16, and that was like 90 players, I think. And that was flying Imperials. And yeah, I got knocked out just barely. I had one really close game. That one movement ended up being a bump, that if it wasn't a bump, I would have beat the guy. And that knocked me from making the top cut to like 13th place. So, and then my next one was Fargo again, where I made top 8, and then it was FFG. So I've been six total regionals now under my belt, and won Worlds.
Side note, that first Fargo regional,
yep.
Did I play Patrick, your friend there?
Yes, you did, yeah.
Okay, he's the one who knocked me out of
the
top 8?
The first one, yeah. That was the guy, yeah. He was flying Soontir, Inquisitor, Omega Leader.
I forgot his Inquisitor had Prockets.
Yep.
That was the whole game right there.
Yeah, because of the Prockets at range. Yeah. Because then it was down to...
I would have annihilated Soontir, I think, instead if I...
Yeah, because he brought Soontir in. When most players might have just said, no, he can come and get me. I'm just going to duck out of here. And
that one still haunts me.
I'm sure. Yeah, because that one went to time, and he had half health on your Brobot and a full health Soontir. Yeah, not quite full
the last
health.
Like 5 minutes, he dropped shields on the Brobot.
Yeah, that's rough.
So, Andrew, we ask this question to everyone who comes on the show as a guest just to get an idea of how they play X-Wing. Obviously, we asked you this question last time you were on. You're welcome to change your answer here. But we always ask, if you had to describe your X-Wing playstyle with an elite pilot talent card, what card would you choose and why?
So last time I was on, I did Cool Hand, which I did because I feel like I'm a pretty lax player at the table. This time I'm going with Determination because... A, I brought it as my elite pilot talent on rack to FFG, and two, I feel like I'm determined to win games, and I'll grind them out if I have to, even if it's a bad matchup.
So you've evolved as a player. You've become more serious.
Yeah.
Less relaxed, more try hard now than ever.
Yeah.
You're determined to win the game. Are you also determined to play Imperials at every regional? Is that what you're set on right now?
No, I'm not. I'll play Scum, too. I'm not a big fan of the Rebels, but I played some Scum this last summer at one of my store championships I went to. I only got to go to two. So I went to Fargo and Grand Forks. And Fargo, I brought Whisperer Boba Fett and made top 4, but couldn't pull out a win in the top 4. And then I brought Ketsu Dengar to Grand Forks. It was only 11, 12, 13 players maybe. And I took that one. I beat Dash Miranda. Josh Prudes from Canada, he was there. He was running Dash Miranda with bombs, so I took him down in a close game to win that one. So yeah, I like to mess around with Scum a little bit, but mostly Imperials.
Well, and coming off of your 2017 win at the Fantasy Flight Minnesota Regional, you were also flying Rear Admiral Chirinow and the Inquisitor, mm-hmm. and you carried that over. So when you made top 4 at Fantasy Flight's Regional this year, you were still flying this list, and then you changed it up a little bit going into the Fargo Regional. Let's talk a little bit about your preparation for these events. So coming into this regional season, where do you even start on deciding what list to fly? Are you looking at the metagame as a whole? Are you looking at other big events?
Yeah, so I watch a lot of games on Vassal. I'm on there every day. Just popping in games, seeing what people are flying, checking out list jugglers, seeing what's winning events, listening to podcasts, and then flying, practicing too. When I'm getting prepped, I play at least one game a night online. On Vassal, and I was in the deep core this last, and the Vassal League, I was in the deep core this last season, and I just didn't know what to fly. There was a lot of Asajj and Scouts still out there, Fenrau, random scum lists that were doing really good still. So I just kind of messed around and experimented a lot in those league games, and I ended up going 5-5 and getting kicked out this season. But yeah, I just couldn't figure out the ticket to this or the meta back last few months, and so I decided, I don't know when I decided to pick up Rack Inquisitor, because as soon last year after I won FFG, I put it down for 9 months probably, and I didn't play it. Mm-hmm. So I just picked it back up 2 or 3 months ago.
For those of you listening who aren't familiar with Vassal, Vassal is an open source digital board gaming platform you can run on your PC. And there's also a fan-made X-Wing mod for it, so you can play an approximate game of X-Wing. It is a little bit different. Andrew, since you've played both a lot of Vassal games and a lot of games of conventional X-Wing, can you tell us a little bit of the differences between the two, some of the nuances that aren't there?
Yeah, so before FFG, I had played on a table... I think one time in 3 months. And so I went to FFG, that was my first time playing on a table in 3 months, basically. And I think it's easier to play on a table. You need about one game to get your ranges down versus a computer laptop screen. So on the laptop, yeah, it's really hard to tell your angles. Like, are you gonna fly over a rock or are you not. The difference is the time for the game is about the same, even though moving your ships is faster because you have to type all your conversation out. A lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people use a program called Discord to just talk to each other while they play.
Yeah, do some voice chat.
Yep, do voice chat. And those games go much faster because Muon does all the creating of the modules when new waves come out for this game, for Vassal. And he is implemented along with, there's quite a few other guys that help him out now. They've implemented, so you can create your list in a squad builder online. And then when you go online to play on Vassal, you can just paste that link right into your hand and it brings up all the things you need to play the game. And then also when you bump a ship now online, you can just hit one button and it auto corrects for you. So it puts the ship in position where it needs to be. No fumbling around. And then if you accidentally make a mistake, you can just hit undo, fixes it. Can't really do that on a table. So there's some nice things about it, but there's nothing as nice as looking at the ships on a table.
Yeah, I've done a few games on Vassal. It is actually, I found a very thorough and detailed platform. It is not the most user-friendly platform. There's a lot of shortcuts that you have to learn if you want to get really good at it. But it's a really good resource, especially I've seen a lot of really high-level X-Wing players use that so they can get games in at, you know, not always convenient times otherwise for a conventional game. So you were saying that you were debating around trying to figure out what was going to fit in the metagame, having a hard time with that. You picked up Rear Admiral Chirinau and the Inquisitor again. After you started practicing around with that, looking at the metagame, what did you see that appealed to you about that list? What did you think it was strong against that's really popular right now? What do you think its weaknesses are?
I think Nim Miranda, that was a big one. It was before that nerf. Well, before that list even became popular, I was flying Rack Inquisitor, and then I found out that it's still really hard to beat with Rack because Nim, if he had the launch after Genius, or could Genius launch, that was basically Rack had to take on that list by himself until he killed Miranda and got Nim PS0. And then that just was way tougher than it needed to be. But once that nerf came, because I was even considering running Nim Miranda because there was no right answer to figure. I couldn't figure out a right answer in time before the tournament. So once that nerf came out, I decided I could.
Right, and if you can't beat him, join him, right?
yeah. Even though I it's Rebels, I still think I would have just flown Rack Inquisitor. I just said, screw it, I'll be fine. I'll just play what I like to fly. But yeah, once that nerf came out, that was like, okay, I can fly this list now again. And its weaknesses are, well, the reason I fly Inquisitor instead of Vader Quickdraw, you see a lot of people pair Quickdraw and Vader with Racklow, is that Vader and Quickdraw are both still weak to TLTs and turrets. And Rack is very weak to TLTs and turrets as well, because Rack is good at, he wants to dodge arcs or be at range one or two, is that's where he wants to be. And then for Vader, he wants to be at range one or two and not be getting shot because he doesn't have auto thrusters. So turret ships like the Falcon, for example, are really good against Rack, especially Chewie, because you can't get any crits in on him. So he's going to, a one-on-one full health Rack versus Chewie's going to win. But Inquisitor is really good against turret ships like Chewie and Dash. So I like to pair those two together to cover each other a little bit.
Yeah, you get a lot of mobility out of the Inquisitor. Obviously, you have access to auto thrusters. So whenever you're getting shot at, out of arc, you can convert that blank to an evade. You're also able to double up on tokens if you've got Push the Limit on there, so you can get both a focus and an evade from that Tyve V1 title. I agree with you, though. The turret thing is rough for Quickdraw. I was flying Quickdraw at Fargo, and the threat of the four TLT shots from a ghost with a docked shuttle was pretty devastating. If that catches you off guard, if you can't get in there fast enough and donut that ship, it's going to tear apart your Quickdraw really quickly. Same with Vader. Vader without auto thrusters takes a lot of damage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a much, much different ship for taking on TLTs.
So you flew Rear Admiral Chirinau and the Inquisitor at both the Minnesota Regional and at the Fargo Regional. You did have some changes there. How much of that was from you tracking lists at other events? Were you really worried about the Fenrau ghost builds? Were you still worried about Nim Miranda? How much do you tech your list for the metagame as it is?
Yeah, that, I check my list for the metagame for sure. And it depends on where you're going to play too. I think knowing who's going to be at FFG versus who's going to be at Fargo, you kind of know, especially being the third year in a row doing regionals, you kind of know if they're meta stores or if they're a little bit off. But you're always going to run
You teched against me, didn't you?
No, I didn't. But I made two changes in my list from Minneapolis, and that was I took Determination off a rack and put VI, and the reason I did that is because I faced two Mirandas in the top cut and in the whole tournament. And I remember last year running against a Miranda was never an issue with PS10 rack. It was always just a few shots and you could get her down if you played it right. And playing that top 16 match, I realized that, wow, if I am tied with Miranda and PS, I have no good situation because I either move after her and shoot before her, or she moves before me and shoots before me. I think I said that wrong, but it's just not good either way. So I had to get to PS10 for the Miranda matchup. That was my main concern. And for the Kylo Ren matchup, it helps too. And then I dropped the Ion Bombs because I didn't have any stress control. So when I ran Rebel Captive and Ions, it had more of an impact in the games. But without Rebel Captive, Ion Bombs were just a small nuisance if I even got them off. So I decided to take a 2-point bid and make Inquisitor worth 36 points in the end game. So at least he ties on Quick Draw in case I can't get Quick Draw down in time.
And that came up. You had an Inquisitor mirror match, didn't you?
Yeah, that was my buddy Patrick. Yeah, he was. I convinced him to run the list, and he decided to stick with Predator like he did at FFG. And Will Hagwood actually knocked him out of the tournament too because he was 4-1 and he played Will, and Will took him out. Yeah, so in the mirror match with Patrick, I had the higher PS, which was an advantage. And then what really messed me up in that game, which made it closer than it had to be, is that the first time I blinded him, I got two crits on him. And the other crit was a blinded pilot, so we had both of them at once. So I lost out on a whole round of shooting him, which basically meant I couldn't kill him before he got damaged cockpit and started blinding me. So then he got the advantage to damage cockpit me, then blind me twice, so I couldn't shoot. So then basically we traded rack for rack and had full health Inquisitors, but he had initiative, so I still had the advantage, but he managed to get a damaged cockpit Kylo on Inquisitor, but just the condition, it wasn't activated yet. And I still had my proton rockets versus a full health Inquisitor, and I was full health. And then since I was moving last, I figured it'd be hard to get shot. So we were kind of messing around on the side of the board where I didn't have a lot of options. And he got me in a position where he knew I was doing a one hard. And then I did a one hard and I tried barrel rolling on the side of him. And my nub on the left side barely nicked his base, so I couldn't barrel roll. And if it's that close, you know it's really going to be hard to dodge his arc. So I could have maybe boosted forward and barrel rolled left, but then that means I'm tokenless if I end up in his arc. So I boosted left, thinking I might be able to barrel roll out, and I couldn't. So I just took the evade, and of course he rolled a natural crit, and then he was focused up. So I expected three hits, but he got the crit in, and I was damaged cockpit then. So that made it a lot tougher, but I got him down to one hull, and I had two shields, one hull, Inquisitor at the end. I just flew it to time because I knew I had the 2-point win.
So you mentioned bringing Veteran Instincts helped you out with Miranda Donnie's there. Miranda's obviously a really popular ship right now. Carson and I have kind of decided that right now she's probably one of your best closing, if not the best closing ship in the game.
The best.
I agree.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. That's what we settled on last week. All right, cool. So we're all in agreement there. You did end up facing Miranda Donnie in your top four game against Sean Morris, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yeah, I can go into that. So I was really happy to see this matchup in my top four. I think it's favorable to me. With PS10 rack, I felt much more comfortable than a PS8.
Sean was bringing Miranda Donnie and Captain Nim together. Pretty typical build there. We had Sabine Wren on Miranda Donnie as well as proton bombs, long-range scanners, extra munitions, harpoon missiles, TLT. And then we had Captain Nim there with Veteran Instincts, Twin Laser Turret, Extra Munitions, Harpoon Missiles, Thermal Detonators, Proton Bombs, Havoc, Guidance Chips, Trajectory Simulator, and Genius. That's a lot of upgrade cards.
Yeah, it is. He really liked his Proton Bombs because I was surprised to see he didn't have Bomblet Generator. And he immediately dismissed it and said, yeah, Protons are better. I'm like, okay, whatever you say. And then he didn't bring a bid either, which was surprising to me. And he said, yeah, that you got a bid so low, I'd rather...
Hey, Protons aren't free.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, I'm not going to try to outbid another bid, Nim Miranda, so I'm just going to take the better bombs, is what he told me. So, yeah, so this matchup I was okay seeing. And then I gave him initiative since he didn't have the bid. And first he set up Miranda in one corner. I set up Inquisitor in the opposite corner. He set up Nim next to Miranda. And then this is where it gets interesting because it's 10:30 at night. So I'm on my, this will be my seventh game, and it's his, I think it's his eighth game. I don't think he had a bye. And I forgot to set Rack. Like I had Inquisitor and Rack both sitting on the edge of the board waiting for him to come in there for our matchup because it was streamed. And so I was supposed to set Rack last, and he was sitting so close to where I was going to set him anyways, I didn't realize it. And so I shook his hand, and we started. And then since I was jousting him, I knew the rule of 11. There's 10 and a half bases forward before we're in range 3 of each other. So I knew if he went forward 3 with Miranda, this is max, I could go forward 4 with Rack, and I wouldn't be in range of him. And so that's what he did. I went forward 4. He went forward 3 with Miranda. Target locked me. He went forward 4 with Captain Nim, and then I went forward 4, and I was like, it's perfect, because now I'm just exchanging shots with Captain Nim. I'm going to try to get damage cockpit on him. So that's exactly what happened. He shot me with Nim. He put two shields on me. I shot him back and put damage cockpit on him, and then I had Quiz coming in for the flank. And then I was like, well, I said, Miranda should be out, but let's just measure. And I measured, and she was in by like a decent amount, like a quarter shimp length. And I was like, no, huh. that's not right. Like this map must be small, because I didn't realize that I didn't set right. that I accidentally set Rack like a half a ship length too far forward outside of range 1, or something like that. It was half a ship, just 3/4 of a ship length outside of range 1. I was like, well, whatever.
I'm sure they were screaming on the stream too.
No, nobody made a comment on it. I don't think there was a ton of people watching it, but or even realized it, because I mean
it was close enough, right?
Yeah, it was close enough. It just looks like that's where I said it. And so I think it was not in my favor to have that happen, because then he was able to get a harpoon, a dice harpoon onto Rack there turn 1 when he shouldn't have been in range. So anyways, he ended up doing 3 more damage. I took 1 hull. And then the next round, he launched a Proton, and I bumped into Nim, which I wanted, and then had a range 1 on Miranda, so I blinded her and with Dauntless. Luckily, the Proton wasn't like a blinded pilot. It was structural damage, which is basically just 1 more damage to me. Then he Sabined me.
That's the best one.
Yeah, that's one of the best crits to see. And then he Sabined me, so I was down to 9 hull there. It's almost half health already, but I stripped Miranda's shields and took her down to 4 hull with the crit, and then Inquisitor took 2 or 3 more damage onto Nim. I think he did three damage onto Nim because he was outside of range of Miranda. And then the next turn, Nim dropped a Proton, flew away, and then Miranda bumped into Rack, and Rack just banked and boosted away. And Quiz came in for a range 3 shot on Miranda. So between Rack and Inquisitor's shot that turn, they killed Miranda. And then it was just a 5 health Nim versus... I think he had TLT'd me enough to get me down to 4 or 5 hull on Rack at that point. And so it was a full health Inquisitor versus a 1 bomb Nim, 1 or 2 bomb Nim, and 5 health. So he's on a time. And he's PS0, so he's just in a time clock right now.
So your strategy in that game was to deal as much damage with Rack before bringing the Inquisitor in?
All my strategy is to just kill Miranda as fast as possible with Rack, and then hopefully get a damage cockpit on Nim at some point. Ideally, exactly like I did it, except for not actually set up my ship properly, and
right,
and just have
not
that
take
one
the harpoon missile.
Yeah, yeah. Because I can close range fast enough to not take harpoons if we joust. But
well, and if you get NIM 2, Pilot Skill 0, that gives you a really clear advantage there with the Inquisitor at PSA. Just having the reposition, you can get behind him, you can get into that donut behind
him.
And
his TLTs.
And that shuts him down.
His TLTs aren't going to hit, and he shouldn't get a harpoon off on me. But, yeah, I need to... I can't save Miranda for the end game. Rack needs to kill Miranda. Otherwise, Inquisitor and Miranda in the end game, even at PS0, Miranda's still, with her slam and everything, is just really hard to get down.
Well, and with the zero agility too, all those regen shots are still going to do damage on the twin with the twin laser turret, so you have to worry about that too.
Yeah,
really efficient there with regen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what do you think was your toughest game of the day at Fargo?
Well, besides Matt Stoutenberg's middle finger to me with his list.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that one real quick.
Yeah.
We drove up with Matt too, and he was I'd say excited about bringing this list.
Yeah,
but Matt Stoutenberg brought Chewbacca in the Falcon, of course, with a score to settle, which I love on Chewbacca. I think that's a hilarious card to bring.
Mm-hmm.
Millennium Falcon title, I believe the classic Millennium Falcon title, smuggling compartments, Wookiee commandos, rigged cargo chute, and countermeasures. And then he also had Lebo in the YT-2400 with determination, heavy laser cannon, Rey, the Outrider title, and countermeasures.
Yeah, so Kylo's not doing too much work in that matchup.
He's doing zero work. He's doing negative work if I actually use him on Lebo. So, yeah, I'm okay. I'm still okay with the matchup because Kylo's, because it's not a bad matchup. If I didn't even bring Kylo, it's still an okay matchup for me. It's just I did not see one of the cards in his list, which was kind of important, which is a rigged cargo chute on Chewie. So I put Inquisitor in a terrible position to let him drop it on me. And that changed the game, because if I lose Inquisitor when he has almost two full health ships, that's a good game. So at that point, it's just trying to get MOV.
Yeah, and the Inquisitor's really depending on push the limit and not being double stressed there. And when you get that rigged cargo chute debris cloud dropped on you, you're going to take the stress, and then you probably move through it. You'll get another stress there.
Yeah.
So you're going to get stress locked and tokenless for that round, which opens you up to those turret shots.
Yeah, well, the turn before, I let myself get bumped by Chewie, knowing that he was going one way, and I would just shoot past him and reposition Inquisitor to come in and get some shots. And I assumed I'd have action, so I knew I could boost barrel roll out of range, so I wouldn't even get shot, or just token up and take one shot and I'd be able to evade it. But when you're double stressed, you don't get actions, and I evaded Chewie's shot, no problem, but the heavy laser cannon unobstructed. Not only that, but I rolled a crit on the debris, which brought me down to two hull, and that's exactly what he killed me at, is two hull. So that was just a bad game overall, where had I realized he had rigged cargo chute, I would have ran Inquisitor away instead of into him, and that could have turned out a little differently. But he flew it well. He did the right thing by not jousting with Rack and coming around and coming for Inquisitor first, because he had to kill Inquisitor first. So he did his job.
All right, so outside of your game with Matt, what was your toughest matchup at this
point? Oh, definitely Aaron, I think he pronounced his last name Fernstall. And he made top eight at FFG, and I played him at FFG too. And at FFG, he was running Ghost Fen, and ended up knocking him out. And so he was kind of had it out for me. We ended up meeting in round six, so... we're both 4-1 at that point, and so the winner makes a cut.
Yeah, that was just after he knocked me out in round five, giving me my second loss.
Okay, yeah, so he was running four contracted scouts with Trickshot, and the interesting thing is that list made top 16, and that was his friend flying it, and he beat his friend in round six of Swiss with Kane and Fen, and then he played his friend again the next day at the top 16 cut, and beat him again with Kane and Fen. And so I asked him why he brought it in a Kane and Fen meta. And he's just like, I don't know, it seems fun. So I'm like, okay.
It's a lot of hit points to chew through.
Yeah, no, and it's really not a good matchup for me because Rack can't evade any of those attacks. So he just needs to roll and kill him, basically. So the game itself, my plan was, my usual plan is to take Rack in and do as much damage as possible, then have Inquisitor clean up. But I knew I couldn't do that this game because four contracted scouts are going to eat Rack alive because they don't need a lot of accurate shots and they just need to do damage.
Well, they're also super durable, too, because it's a grind for you, right? Because they've got 9 hit points. They've got 2 agility dice, probably focused up. Yep. It's going to take you a lot of shots to bring one down, and they're going to be dealing a lot of damage.
Yeah, I do have 2 blinded, so if I can get Rack to bump one, blind another, I'm only taking 2 shots. But you can only do that twice, so you got to be careful about when you do it. So I decided I'm going to joust with Inquisitor and then have Rack come in later instead of the other way around. And then have Inquisitor get out and Rack do some work, and then have him get out and have Inquisitor come back in and do some work. So yeah, it's a grind. It took me... We went to time, and I knew I needed to get the end game where Inquisitor only had two contracted scouts on the table. Rack needed to take 2 scouts with him. And that's pretty much what happened. I ended up with 3 hull on Rack and 2 health on Inquisitor versus 2 4 hull contracted scouts. But I mean, you had to fly it. Really, really good to be able to take that one. And I got lucky on some cold dice, too.
So one thing we didn't see a lot of at the Minnesota Regional, Aaron Fernstall brought one, but it was the Fen Ghost Zeb build that we've been seeing a lot of. Actually, that same weekend that we had the Minnesota Regional in January, I think there were other regionals where it was basically all over the place. That was definitely a force here at the Fargo Regional. It was the first game I played that day and the first game I lost that day. It was also your final matchup at the final table against Ernest Pasillas, who actually is a listener of the show. So shout out to him for making final table. But yeah, how do you feel about that matchup right now, especially with your list?
Yeah, so it was my first matchup and my last matchup because I had a bye, so my second round was against a Ghost Fen. 2 thoughts. First is there's a different strategy depending on if they have engine upgrade on the Ghost. So Kylo in this matchup makes it... basically more fair and even. It doesn't give me an advantage, but it gives me a fair matchup, so I still have to fly it right. But basically it gives me 8 extra health on Rack, 8 to 10, somewhere around there. So my strategy when they don't have engine upgrade, which Ernest didn't, and I think I prefer that one, is I can just ignore Fen for a while because I know exactly where the Ghost is going to be. I don't have to worry about him boosting away and getting Inquisitor and Arc and all this. So my strategy is to make as big a lanes as possible for Rack to get into range 1 as soon as possible and not take TLTs and have him keep kiting me, which means he'll just keep flying away and keeping range on me. So if I can try to cut him off at either the board edge or where he's trying to run away, that's my goal. I didn't do it successfully in this matchup, but it was close enough, I think, because I got both blindeds off on him and was able to do enough damage before he killed Rack and get a PS0 on Fen before Rack died. That was key. If Rack can get the Ghost to half or more and damage Cockpit Fen or get him killed, Inquisitor can clean that up.
Well, and Rear Admiral Chirnow's ability also helps you here, being able to convert that focus at range 1 to 2 into a crit result. One of the key synergies of the Kanan, Fen, Zeb builds is having that sensor jammer on the Ghost and then having Fen Rao with the hotshot co-pilot there to force you to spend your focus token at pilot skill 11 when Fen Rao shoots. You're able to kind of counteract that with Rear Admiral Chirnow's ability where you don't need a focus token in order to modify that converted result by sensor jammer.
Yeah, that and plus Emperor Palpatine, he can't sensor jammer crits, so... I think he learned that lesson right away, is do not sensor jammer Rack unless he has another focus sitting there, because I turned it to a crit. Luckily he had shields, so it didn't cost him a lot, but he's like, oh, never mind, I won't do that anymore.
Well, like you mentioned, this was a build without engine upgrade too. The first one I've played against and the one I've played against most often is that version where the Ghost has that engine upgrade, and then Fen Rao with Veteran Instincts is able to coordinate a boost action at pilot skill 11, effectively giving your low pilot skill Ghost some maneuverability at the higher pilot skill so it can get out of the way and line up those twin laser turret shots here. So this was actually the preferable version of this for you to face, right?
I think so. And the strategy against the engine upgrade one is obviously... get damage cockpit on Fen as soon as possible, and then you can kind of bring Inquisitor in. So try to bump the Ghost and get the shot on Fen without taking damage in return. And sometimes you just got to sacrifice that damage on Rack to get Fen to PS0 because he's still good at PS0, but he's not anywhere near as good at PS11.
Yeah, it takes away a lot of the value of hotshot copilot. Yeah. If it's
and flight assist aftermech if they have it, and I mean a lot of things. I don't believe Ernest had a first round bye, which I think played into the performance of the game, because there were some triggers missed on both parts. I was playing my eighth game, he was playing his ninth, and you could tell he was very, very tired, because this is we're in the 11 to midnight hour after, you know, playing X-Wing for over 12 hours. So I think that gave me a little bit of an advantage as well, because I don't think I was as tired as him from having played one less game. It's less mental.
Well, and that's one of those things where, especially in regionals that happen all in one day, mm-hmm. it is really tough to keep everything yep. together, especially after any game after your sixth game. They just become more and more yep. taxing.
Yeah, and I lucked out in Swiss. I faced all Rebel, two-ship Rebel lists, which I feel are favorable to Rack.
Yeah, I know. I started missing triggers, I think, after round 5.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I missed some triggers in round 1, so that's on me now.
Well, that's your warm-up game. Of course you missed triggers there.
Yeah.
And of course I lost it, right. Well, congratulations to you, Andrew, for winning the event. Huge congratulations also to Ernest for making it to that final table. That is no small feat, especially without that first round bye there. So he had to play a lot of hard games of X-Wing, but I know he was flying really well. So congratulations to him, too, for making it down there to that mm-hmm. final table.
So, Andrew, you've obviously been very successful this regional season. Flying Imperials, it's a Rebel world right now, but you're still having really good success with the Empire. What are the best tools the Empire has to really be able to fly with the top Rebel stuff right now?
I think Harpoon missiles, anything that has access to Harpoon missiles, the high PS, so Quick Draw and Darth Vader, being able to alpha something, that's some of their best tools. Kylo is a good tool. I think Emperor Palpatine's the best, one of the best tools they have. And then aces that have access to auto thrusters and evade token. I think that's where Kylo Ren silencer kind of falls short, is they're not doesn't have access to an evade token, so the extra health isn't as good as auto thrusters.
I mean, it's sort of like your first two evade tokens.
Yeah, you get two free evade tokens plus his ability, but I think auto thrusters kicks in more than two times a game to save health typically.
Right, and just the ability to evade a full harpoon missile with that evade token and Palpatine getting up to 4 evade results pretty reliably.
Yeah, so I keep saying...
Don't get those harpoon conditions on you.
Yeah, I keep saying auto thrusters. I mean, the evade token kicks in more than twice a game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a free action because he's already getting 2 actions with the target lock and evade, and then he can focus or barrel roll boost. So
do you think the Inquisitor is the best ace for the Empire right now?
Right now... It really depends on matchups, but for my personal flying style, I do, because the one hards, yeah, it's easy to block all the ones at the big base ship versus like a Suntir or a Kylo, you can't really block with event sensors, but the one hards allow you to keep range, which you want with Inquisitor, because he's always at range 1, and turn in on ships and keep arc a little easier than some of these other aces. It's hard to keep arc on a ship. Like Suntir, for example, with those two hards, it's not as easy to kind of get around and keep shooting the same ship over and over and over if they're able to kind of boost around an edge.
Right. I agree. The difference between the 2-speed green turn versus the 1-speed green turn, it makes a huge difference in being able to shoot turn after turn with a push-the-limit style ace. So how important is Kylo Ren in the Imperial's success right now? You obviously used him a lot, works great with Rear Admiral Chernu. Is it just a really important tool that the Empire needs to use?
I think it's not an important...
Or is it more of an insurance policy?
It's not really an important tool for the Imperials so much. It's more of an important tool for Rack, because I feel like Rack just doesn't... He just dies to so much firepower out there right now. But with Kylo, it basically just allows him to survive long enough to do the things he needs to do for your ace to close out the game. So I wouldn't say it's compared to the Imperials, because Palpatine is way more important than Imperial success. As you can see with a lot of these Inquisitor, Quick Draw, Palpatine, Shuttle lists. I think he needs to be on Rack. If you're not running him with Rack, then you're sacrificing. You're basically, with Kylo, you're giving yourself an extra 6 health on your Rack.
Well, yeah, the combination of Rack's pilot ability and Emperor Palpatine in your list means you're able to trigger that critical damage really yep. reliably. Any other list that doesn't have a way to do that's going to have a hard time getting real good efficiency out of Kylo. It seems like Kylo's really important when you're facing off against these really powerful two-ship builds that Rebels have. Obviously, Miranda Nim's huge right now, and being able to deal out pilot skill zeros and blinded pilots shuts down a lot of their firepower. You also have lists that are effectively two ships, like Fenn and the Ghost with the dock shuttle, where being able to shut down at least one shot or get pilot skill zero on that Fenn Rao is really important to your strategy. Did you feel like Kylo Ren kind of determines a lot of the strategies for most of your matchups? Like, you are always thinking, okay, what crit do I need to deal out here?
Yeah, I would say probably there's probably about 20% of games where Kylo's unnecessary, but he just gives you that extra edge. He takes your bad matchups and makes them a little more fair, like a 50-50, and then he takes your good matchups and just makes them better. So you're probably going to win your good matchups anyways, but now he kind of just guarantees that. So for example, my top 8 match was against a Poe Chewie. That's going to be one that I could potentially win already anyways. Just have Rat kill Poe, and then Inquisitor can take Chewie. But Kylo makes that matchup. Just, you have to just shoot Poe 3 times to kill him instead of the 6, 7, or 8 times it would take without Kylo.
Right, because those cards go under the shields. It doesn't matter if he's regenerating. Yep. You just need 3 Kylo Ren triggers.
And it's also nice to have Inquisitor paired with that too, because as soon as you get the damaged cockpit on Poe, Inquisitor turns off his auto thrusters, so much harder to evade an attack.
So, Andrew, obviously you've had some real good success here with this list, getting top 4 at the Minnesota Regional and now winning the Fargo Regional. If we've got any players out there who are interested in trying out Rear Admiral Chirinow and the Inquisitor, what would be your advice for them getting started with this list?
Yeah, so I guess I would, if you can find the games online that I've flown it, you guys have them. Do you guys have them on YouTube?
We're going to get them up
there. Yeah, so you guys are going to get them on YouTube, so TCX Radio, YouTube. And I'm not sure if Paradox Games will. They'll still have them out for another couple weeks, Paradox Games on Twitch.
Yeah, you can check their Twitch feed, twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC.
So they'll have some match there, so watch video. You can also, I'm on Slack. My name is Catchy Slim, and that's spelled just like it sounds. I'm on Vassal as Catchy Slim. So you can either message me on Slack or just hit me up on Vassal and ask me questions. I know I had one guy do that. He saw I made top 4 at FFG. He messaged me on Slack and said he was interested in flying it, wanted some tips. So I kind of went through some tips with him. But basically, like with Quick Draw and Rack, I see a lot of players fly them together. That's not what you want to do with Rack and Inquisitor. You want to typically want to flank with Inquisitor, and I joust with Rack, but a lot of people don't think that's a good strategy. So you got to... It's got to fit your play style.
Yeah, but you're a regional champion, so
yeah, so
you must be right.
It's got to fit your play style, and it's got a good mix in it, because you got a turreted ship, and then you got your ace, so it's fun to fly too.
I will say you looked like you were having a good time in all your games.
Well, thanks. Except for that one against Matt. That one I wasn't.
Well, whenever you play a game against Matt, it's usually not fun.
I'm sure he had fun.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah, he felt it justified his decision. Anyway, sure. Andrew, congratulations on winning the Fargo Regional. Glad you got to win another regional this season. I was really hoping you'd win the Minnesota one, but you got this one here. Huge congratulations on that. Are you going to play any more regionals this season, you think?
No, I might. I might try to make Winnipeg or potentially Omaha. I highly doubt it, though. I think I'll hang it up and take a little break and then start prepping for Worlds.
Yeah, I hope to see you in the cut there.
That'd be nice. It's going to be a lot of players. It's a tough field this year.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Andrew.
Thanks.
A huge thank you to Andrew for coming on the show. It was a really great conversation. We were really glad he was able to take the time and talk to us. Before we close out today, we did want to give some shout-outs. Shout-out to everyone who finished out in the top 8 at the Fargo Regional, including the finalist Ernest Pacias, as well as the top 4 finishers, Chris Hall, Sean Morris, and then our top 8 players, Wade Stover, Matt Sperry, Mike O'Byrne, and Kyle Lembecker. Congratulations, guys. It was a tough day, a lot of hard games, but you really earned those spots. We also want to give a shout out to all the people over at Paradox Comics and Cards, where the Fargo Regional was held. It was a really smooth tournament, and I was really appreciative of such a great event. So thank you guys, everyone over at Paradox Comics and Cards. If you're in the Fargo area, please be sure to check them out. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radioTCX and like our Facebook page. And while you're there, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review. You can throw a little comment on Facebook saying what you like about the podcast. It's been really great to see all the 5-star reviews we've been getting. We really appreciate that.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why other players would be interested in listening.
This week, we're going to give a shout out to Papa Guy, who said that the X-Wing Fundamental episodes are a great way to progress from a beginner to a more experienced level, as Tim and Carson share their years of experience, wisdom, and expertise with you. Thank you, Papa Guy.
And again, a huge thank you to everyone who's left us a review on iTunes. It really does mean a lot to us.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.